Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
It is 4:30, and we start off the show with John Edwards in sports. How do you do?
So far, so good. How are you?
I'm fine. Oh, my youth took another shot last week, John. Just saddened to learn the passing of Ken Dryden. Your thoughts?
Kind of shocking news, because no one really knew that he was ill at all. So to have that sort of come out of nowhere last Saturday was quite surprising. A big piece of the last great Habs dynasty has gone, and sort of a guy who always did things his own way and was really sort of one of one. You know, I mean, he was one of the first players to go to the NHL through the college route, play for Cornell in the late 60s. You know, took a year off in the mid 70s because of a contract dispute, and sort of always sort of one of these people who, with him, you felt that playing hockey, because he was good at it, but it wasn't all that he had. There was always something else going on. I mean, and certainly we saw that after with the successful career as an author, a lawyer, and politician. And I mean, the Game is one of the best sports books ever written.
I was going to say that very thing, just a fantastic book. Yeah,
that's the standard by which certainly any other hockey book would be measured, and they don't get close to it.
Yeah. Oh, I had a poster of Ken Dryden on the wall. That 1971 series, it's what made me fall in love with hockey.
Especially for him to, you know, sort of come out of nowhere, because he got called up to the Habs like not long before that season ended. He was only played 6 regular season games before taking over in the playoffs.
Yeah, and won them all. I was a goalie when I was younger and used to rest my head on the top of the stick like he did. But he was just the sharpest and most scholarly observer and a keen student and a worldly man who viewed and experienced life far beyond the arenas. And he was an inspiration, how he studied and proved that you could study and play at the same time, and how he expressed himself and how he got involved to this day in so many things, and an example too, John, on how to be a nice man and treat people like you'd want to be treated.
Yep, exactly.
Yep. All right, the NFL, how incredible, how epic was that comeback from Buffalo last Sunday night?
That was completely ridiculous, because it's the first time it's happened that teams overcome 15 points down with 4 minutes to go, because in American football, that just doesn't happen. It's so easy to run the clock out that, you know, usually that's what happens. You can get one score, you can get close, but you can't ever finish it off. And so they score the one touchdown, you know, with 3:56 to go, and then they get the ball back and score another one with 2 minutes to left, miss the 2-point convert, and somehow, no problem, we'll just have another 9-play drive to set up a field goal by a guy who just got into Buffalo 2 days ago. Sure, why not?
Wow. Games to watch this weekend?
1 o'clock, I think the pick of the litter is Bears-Lions. They're both trying to rebound from a couple of week one losses and get their seasons back on track. 4 o'clock, Eagles-Chiefs. That's probably the game of the weekend. You know, it's a Super Bowl rematch, possible preview this year. And the 8 o'clock game is Falcons-Vikings, which is a reminder that every team has to get at least one primetime game. And then speaking of that, we've got Bucks-Texans and Chargers-Raiders on Monday. So,
wow. Talk to you at 5:30.
We'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
Sometimes life can hit you hard, find out who's your friend. You may never know until the bitter end. You got to roll. Sometimes you need to fight. Stand up for what you think is right. But there's some things you never get to choose. Like when you ain't got nothing. You got nothing left to lose. You got to roll.
The Weekly News Review on the Friday Drive.
Weekly News Review right now. Township's based economic development expert, Michel Retzier. Good to speak to you. How are you this week, sir?
Quite well, Daniel. Thank you. Good afternoon.
All right. Polls show Prime Minister Carney continues to ride high. Canadians seem to like the tone and direction he's set, Michel.
There's some economic numbers we can get in a few moments there. And we would have expected, because of these latest numbers, that Carney's favorable ratings would have come down. But as the activities of the Canadian Parliament resume next Monday, he's still riding high with high favorable ratings. His net approvals, now this is the favorable minus the unfavorable, are in the range of plus 10 to plus 30. This is quite high after 6 months that he's been at the helm of the Liberals and then Prime Minister. His net favorable in Quebec is plus 20. Pierre Poilievre is net favorable right now. He's either nil or minus 2%, depending on the pollster. The trend over the last 30 days show an approval rating 55% for Mr. Carney against 45% for Poilievre. Yep. The resumption of the first session of the 45th Parliament next week should be interesting, should be fun.
Yeah. His challenge, though, sustaining momentum as tough issues pile up, and I'm talking about inflation, housing, international tensions, and unemployment.
Yeah, unemployment went up from 6.9 to 7.1%, which is creep, not something big. This brings us in the comparable cluster with that of France and Italy. This means that we lost in July and August from our job market over 100,000 jobs. 60% of those jobs were in August. You're going to ask me what caused these losses? Well, these were mainly due to cuts in part-time jobs and consequences of the Trump tariffs on autos, aluminum, steel, and lumber, which have created a lot of uncertainty. Businesses don't like uncertainty, so firms have frozen investments in machinery and equipment and trimmed less essential labor. Plus, you always have a bit of people dropping off the job market that no longer are seeking employment because of retirement, of disease, sickness, whatever. So at this point, it's a short-term setback because we're still ahead so far this year on the employment gains that we had made in 23 in the service sectors. We may be heading, Daniel, into some form of conundrum called growth recession. That's when the economy continues to rise, but too slowly to prevent rising unemployment. I hope we don't get there because that is really a conundrum for the Bank of Canada when they have to deal with that type of economy.
Yep. Big question. Is this just a honeymoon thing or does he have long-term staying power?
Well, we're going to see how things evolve in the next parliament. Poilievre, who's a tough cookie when you get to question periods and so forth, they'll be face-to-face now as of next week. And this is really, his baptism is really next week in terms of parliamentary affairs. Plus, they have a budget to prepare for the beginning of October. So there's a lot of let's wait and see pipeline, right?
All right. Wednesday this week, Michel, Quebec Premier's cabinet reshuffle. It's a shakeup at the National Assembly. New faces, some veterans. The Premier is clearly trying to reset the political narrative heading into the tricky fall session. Are we rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic?
Let's measure if this is a Titanic. Personal rating of Legault in Quebec, it's at 22% right now, against unfavorable ratings of 72%. He's the most unpopular of all provincial premiers. And just to put this in context, Canoe of Manitoba stands at 61%. A year before the next provincial elections, the CAQ itself barely reaches 11% of voter intentions. They got 7 in Athabasca this summer in the by-election. 11% means that they would be facing a wipeout in terms of seats. They hold right now 84 seats. They could disappear from the map. Are they rearranging the deck chairs? Well, there are a few changes. A few changes would have been qualified as small, but this is a huge reshuffling. First of all, 5 days ago, he booted out the MNA from Abitibi, Dufour, who just asked, could we please have a minister from our region? He booted out François Bonnardel of the cabinet, threw him under the bus at the inquiry on Saclic. This is an MNA from our region, the Eastern Townships, from Shefford, former Minister of Transport, as we know, and one of the first CAQ MNAs that was elected in 2012. Important moves, I'm not going to rattle all of them, but Jay stays at health, Gérard at finance. Guilbeault seems to be rewarded, going from transportation to municipal affairs that she wanted to have, because a year before the election, municipal affairs is a very strategic department because you deal with all the mayors all across Quebec. She sees herself as being into that power corridor, if you want. Lebel goes from treasury to education, replacing Drainville, who was doing a big job at education, but now at environment, that's a weird one, even if he loves environment. Remember what he said about the emanations of gases.
Lâchez-moi tranquille avec les GES.
The gaz effet de serre, there you go. Duranceau, not very well known at housing, will replace Lebel at treasury. And Biron at international relations is moved into higher education. I won't continue to rattle off all the seat changes and the newcomers, but let me say that Bonnardel, out as minister, this weakens the eastern townships. We still have Bélanger from Morford, who's the cybersecurity minister, and Charest in Brome, who is the sports minister. But Bonnardel had been a senior member of cabinet for years. Let's see if this is going to be boosting their standing in the coming weeks.
All right. Let's turn to Florida. They dropped the vaccination mandate. I just can't deal with it. Florida continues to chart its own course on public health, dropping what's left of vaccine mandates. Supporters say it's about freedom of choice and moving on. Critics worry it sends the wrong message about public health preparedness if another crisis emerges. This, Michel, is a policy with ripple effects. Other states might follow. How dumb can you be?
Unbelievable. This was announced a few days ago by DeSantis and his Surgeon General, Dr. Lepato. This is the same Surgeon General that compared compulsory vaccines to slavery. Mm. Can you believe it? Currently, to attend public schools, children in Florida have got to be vaccinated for polio, diphtheria, measles, mumps, you name it. The Florida Health Department also plans to remove, for everyone, requirements for hepatitis B and varicella, as well as other vaccines, over their 90 days. Look, this is going to endanger the lives of young and old Floridians alike. Represent 22% of the total population of the state. That's one of the highest in the United States. So for the few Canadians still heading south for the winter and don't look like brown people and their English is not good, beware, you must at least ensure to have your full set of shots updated. I think Canada should start requiring the international vaccination certificate from any citizen coming from the United States who presents themselves at our border.
I can't believe it. My body, my choice is what they're saying. Well, it's not just your choice. It affects a bunch of people and kids around you.
Yeah, there you go.
It's just beyond me.
Mind-boggling.
Yep. All right. In Sherbrooke, they have decided to lower the speed limit to 40 km/h. The city wants calmer, safer neighborhoods, 40 instead of 50 on local streets. Supporters say it's safer for kids, cyclists, pedestrians. Opponents say it's a frustration for drivers, possible enforcement headaches, slower commutes. Tempest in a teapot. What do you think?
You know, Daniel, this is a bit like being for or against virtue and apple pie. What can you say? Bringing 50K down to 40 already in not near school zones, but if you were driving 55, it's tolerated. Now, if you're going to be driving 45, 47, it will still be tolerated. I think it's something in Sherbrooke anyway, citizens have got to just suck it up. It may be a little frustrating, but then again, Sherbrooke is not much of the downtown Montreal. You have a small traffic jam early in the morning starting about 7:30 and then another one starting at about 4:30. But by 5:30, 6 o'clock, it's almost over everywhere. So drive more carefully in the streets is the motto of the day. What can you say about that?
I think the vast majority of people ride safely. I think 40, personally, a little slow. But the problem is, really, is the ones that decide to go 70 and 80.
Oh, there you go.
And you can't have police on every street corner.
And if those continue to drive 70 and 80 in a 40 zone, I mean, better watch out. It'll cost them quite a hefty fine and points on their driving dossier.
All right. Hey, Mario Brothers celebrates 40 years this year. Come on. Did you play that?
No, I didn't, but I know you do, Ben. You still have the original Play app at your house.
You're a bad man. That's all I'm saying. Oh, man. Michel Ratier is a townships-based economic development expert, and thank you so much again this week. Have a good weekend. We speak next week.
Yeah, drive safely, Daniel, especially in Sherbrooke. Cheers. Have a nice weekend.
Salut.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
I know you wanted me to stay, but I can't ignore the crazy visions of me. Special place where boys and girls can all be queens every single day. I'm having wicked dreams of leaving Tennessee. You Santa Monica, I swear it's calling me. Won't make my mama proud, it's gonna cause a scene. She sees her baby girl, I know she's gonna scream. Girl, Tennessee, oh Santa Monica, you've been too good to me. Won't make my mama proud. It's gonna cause a scene. She sees her baby girl. I know she's gonna scream. On my mind. And mama, every Saturday I can hear your southern drawl a thousand miles away saying, God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl and you dance at the club. Oh mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where I belong.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
In the news, Brome, Missisquoi MNA Isabelle Charest has been appointed minister responsible for the Estrie region following Premier Legault's cabinet reshuffle in Quebec City on Wednesday. She'll continue to serve as minister of sport, recreation, and the outdoors. By becoming minister responsible for l'Estrie, she succeeds Granby MNA François Bonardel, who was removed from cabinet. Mr. Bonardel, who has represented Granby since 2007, also lost his position as minister of public security. The former minister of transportation had testified a few weeks ago at the Gallant Commission regarding significant cost overruns in the Saclic project. Notable changes in the cabinet shuffle include the appointment of Sonia Lebel as Minister of Education, Bernard Drinville as Minister of the Environment, Geneviève Guilbeault as Minister of Municipal Affairs, and Jonathan Julien as Minister of Transportation. Under the theme Secrets of the Stage, Théâtre Lac Brome is hosting its annual fundraising gala tomorrow under the Big Top. During the evening, guests will have the chance to discover the behind-the-scenes world of the theater. Circus artists, musicians, and dancers will bring the event to life under the artistic direction of Anita Bambita from Galerie Blanca, a cocktail dinner created by Sugary Farms chef Nick Hodge, and an online silent auction are also planned. The gala is a vital moment for the sustainability of the theater and a treasured gathering for the community, where citizens are honored who have shaped the history and the future, according to Pierre-David Rodrigue, General and Artistic Director of Théâtre Lac Brome. For more details or to purchase tickets, please visit the theater's website. Sutton Market will celebrate its 55th anniversary tomorrow at Parc de la Légion from 9 in the morning to 1 o'clock. For the occasion, two performances are planned. Velvet Musique will take the stage in the morning, starting at 9:30, followed by DJ Eve Malo, who will liven up the event from noon to 1. In addition to the musical performances, a raffle will be held at about 11:30, giving participants the chance to win gift certificates for market products. Visitors will also be treated to a slice of cake and lemonade free of charge. For the little ones, there will be two storytelling sessions with Alexandre from Édition 400 Coups, one at 9 a.m., the other at 11 a.m. Other surprises are in store as well. The family-friendly sports event L'Estriade la Nuit will take place for the third year on September 14 on Sunday. Under the theme It's Still Summer, Once again, Daniel Johnson Park will serve as the gathering place for nighttime cyclists. The spokesperson for the 2024 edition of the event is journalist and columnist Maude Goyer. Originally from the region, Ms. Goyer began her journalism career at La Voix de l'Est. Returning to Granby to promote l'Estria de la Nuit brings back memories for her. To meet the demand of more athletic cyclists, a new 21-kilometer route has been added this year. The Yamaska Circuit, which takes participants to Yamaska Park, one of the event's partners. The other two routes remain: the 7-kilometer light-up course, ideal for families, and the 10-kilometer adventure route, part of which takes place in complete darkness. The main organizer of l'Estria de la Nuit is the Corporation d'Aménagement Récréo-Touristique de la Haute-Yamaska, the body responsible for the cycling network in the MRC. Its representative, Laura Petabas, expects up to 2,000 cyclists this year, already 750 registrations to date. Cyclists will take part in the Women's Ride Challenge tomorrow in Bromont. Two routes are offered for participants. The first, called the Small Challenge, covers 65 kilometers with about 600 meters of elevation gain. The Big Challenge spans 100 kilometers with 1,000 meters of elevation gain. The goal of the event is to promote the integration of women into the cycling community by creating an accessible, stimulating, and inclusive environment where everyone can enjoy the pleasure of riding together and maybe even push their limits. For more details or to register, interested participants are invited to visit womensride.ca. For more information, listen to CIDI 99.1 FM. Duchess weather is going to be an outstanding weekend. Cloudy periods tonight, low 6. Tomorrow, sunny, 22. Saturday night, cloudy periods, low 10. Sunday, sunny, 22. And long range, Monday, sunshine, high of 22 degrees. Ed Humphrey just after 5 o'clock with things to do and things to see in the Eastern Townships. 5:10 interview of the week, Dennis Katsaras and Michelle Lapite from the Townshippers Association. 5:30 sports, John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia. Ted Silver this week to talk about a few passings in the music world. All on the Friday Drive, CJMQ 88.9 FM, CIDI 99.1 FM.